What buttons do we hit?
Well, let's
What
hope this
people?
all works. I just reset my entire computer
Uh-oh.
from scratch, so I haven't even had a chance to test it.
Probably best that you do it with me than to do it with like an executive at Valiant Comics or DC Comics. It's like, hey, it was great having you on, Howard Chaykin. But yeah, I recorded the first 2 minutes, so we'll be putting that out, not the other 2 hours. Oops.
Well, see, the
You'll
good thing
never
is
perform
with the
again?
with those guys, I use that that free conference call thing. So
Oh, nice.
I record here, but then that app has its own thing and it records in the cloud. So I know that I don't have to worry about it. I think we're good. I think we're good.
All right, good, good.
Great. Nicholas Wetmore.
Hello.
It's been so long.
It has been a long time.
Been so long.
Oh, man.
He's been gone. I don't remember the rest of the song, and I don't know who sings it. Busta Rhymes. No, Mystical. That's who it was. Danger.
Mystical. Help me now.
Yes, it was Mystical.
Man.
Hello, welcome.
MTV Cribs himself, Mystical? Or was that
Yes.
Rides? MTV Rides.
Mystical does like a YouTube show for somebody, maybe Vice, where it's kind of like Cribs, but not really. And sometimes it's just like weird shit.
Did he do, or was he just on an episode of Pimp My Ride? Or was he the host of Pimp My Ride?
He might have been on it. I think it was Ice Cube that was the host.
Was he? I don't remember Ice Cube.
Wasn't it Ice Cube?
I don't
No,
know.
it wasn't Ice Cube.
Ice Cube
Oh.
seems too big for that. This was, of course, before Ice Cube got a washed-up basketball conference that he does now. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that. I know The Rock bought the XFL.
I know. Watch out.
It was Exhibit.
There you go. Exhibit.
Exhibit.
Yeah.
Alvin Nathaniel Joyner.
Nice.
Great name.
Nice. I
Great
like
name.
that name. I would have got rid of Exhibit. That's a great name.
Yeah. His nickname is X to the Z. That makes no sense to me.
What?
I mean, I guess 'cause of Exhibit, but I don't get it.
Sure.
I don't get
Hey,
it.
I gotta ask you a quick question.
Yes.
This might be our first random tangent topic. We're both rusty at this. It's been a long time. It's been a long.
Been so long.
No, I'm gonna go into Sting. Been a while since I could hold my head up high.
Is that guy still alive?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yes, he is.
No,
He does
okay.
solo concerts and he's done stuff on during COVID.
Oh,
He's done,
interesting.
yeah, he's done like little shows, not for free. People pay.
Well, sure.
But yeah,
Wait,
he's
he
big
does like
into.
Zoom concerts? That's hilarious.
And before that, he was doing the last tour that I remember because my buddy Teal, he went to see him at like Fox Woods Casino at an acoustic show.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
Nice.
you don't have to scream as much. You're doing acoustic. Let's tune it down a little.
He used to date the girl from Evanescence.
Really?
Yeah.
What's her
Amy
name?
Lee. Amy Lee.
Amy, I wanted to say Amy May, but you're right, Amy Lee.
Amy Lee. Yeah, they just came out with a new album.
I saw them on some random YouTube thing. She was covering Sound of Silence, maybe? Oh boy, she still has a good voice. It was just her and a guitarist. Woo, she has a good voice.
Yeah, she sounds good. She looks basically the same, just a little chunkier.
Yeah, I think she looks fantastic. She
Yeah.
looks exactly the same, considering that was what, 20 years ago?
Well, that's true.
She looks great.
That's true.
Way to go. Way to go, Amy Lee.
I was following up on all those bands because there was some band that just like re-released one of their famous songs.
I know. Are you gonna go one step beyond? Is that it?
No.
What's the group that did One Step Beyond?
One Step Beyond.
That right? One Step Beyond.
Who's
Oh,
One Step?
Linkin Park. Linkin Park.
Oh.
Because they just released, what was it, a 25th anniversary of that big album. with a lot of like added on pimped out bonuses.
Interesting. How do they do that? Because What's-His-Face is dead.
He's dead, but I mean, we're only looking at that one album, so I'm sure there's tons of studio cuts that never made it in, as well as B-sides.
No, it was, I can't remember the name of the band, but it was like featuring the, remember the band Flyleaf?
Yes.
All right. Yeah, so it was like, it's like featuring her.
Wow.
Oh God, who was it? Not Apocalyptica, damn it. Oh well, it doesn't matter. Lacey Sturm, that's her name.
Are you going to start singing Butterfly since we're talking about one-hit wonders?
You're My Butterfly Sugar Baby?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. So at the last place I worked at, there was a girl that worked for me, and she knew those guys before like they became famous for that for their one song.
Before they enjoyed heroin way too much?
Yeah. I didn't believe her. She brought me pictures and everything. She had like the Polaroids. They weren't Polaroids, but you know.
Did she also know Alien Ant Farm? Because I would be even more impressed if she knew.
Dude, Alien Ant Farm was the bomb diggy.
They were not a one-hit wonder. No. Stop the madness. Well, Stop the madness.
I mean, sure. their best song wasn't theirs.
Disagree. Their second best song wasn't theirs. It was the Michael Jackson cover of what was it, Smooth Criminal?
Don't Do That, Chewbacca. Yes.
No, their best song was These Days. And I'm not even going to put hashtag unpopular opinion. Go listen to it. It still stands up. It's a great song.
Yes. Man, I'm still trying to find this damn song featuring Lacey Sturm. Lacey Sturm. Skillet? No, it wasn't Skillet. Breaking Benjamin. Haha, that was it.
There you go.
Breaking Benjamin.
Wow, that's a blast from the past.
Dear Agony. Dude, this new version is freaking awesome. It's so good.
By Breaking Benjamin?
Yeah, it's Breaking Benjamin featuring Lacey Sturm.
Wow, so they're still doing it, huh?
I guess. Dude, that dude is like 8 feet tall.
Dying.
Mm-hmm. All those bands are still doing it, man. What was the other girl band? Kitty. You remember Kitty? Yeah. It was like the all-girl metal band. They're still around.
Yep.
They don't look the same at all.
No, they don't.
They don't wear their JNCOs and chains.
They might now.
Oh, that should be a movie. JNCO and chains.
You mean it? I'm thinking a buddy cop film. Starring The Rock and not Kevin Hart. They do enough movies together. The Rock, and we need a nerdy white dude who isn't muscular.
Pete Davidson.
No, he's too slimy. What about the dude from Silicon Valley? Thomas Middleton.
Oh, I like Thomas Middleton. That's a good one.
Because that's a nerdy dude.
Yeah. He's only doing commercials, so you might as well.
With chain.
And it's just The Rock walking around in JNCOs.
Yes. And his last name is JNCO. Like Tex JNCO. You know, like the 80s, like Sylvester Stallone films where it was always like John Cobra. Ex-Jinko. And then, of course, everybody just assumes Thomas Middleditch would be Jinko, but we're flipping it because we don't want Rock to be chains. So all of a sudden he's like, my new partner is this Officer Chains. Thinking he's going to be a real badass, but all of a sudden he's the guy that's in IT.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Edward Chains.
Edward Chains.
Yeah. Yes.
That's hilarious. Oh, that could be. What's his name?
A mob murder.
A mob murder.
By accident.
I was gonna say it could be a remake of Edward Scissorhands, where it's Edward Chainhands.
That's a good. And he wears JNCO. He wears leather JNCOs.
Yes. JNCO Chains Hands.
Now, going back to the music.
I like music.
Who was married to Avril Lavigne? It was one of the brothers.
It was the guy from Sum 41.
Was it? I thought it was one of the brother dudes.
It was what the hell is his name? Here, I'm looking it up right now. That's him. Derek Jason Whibley.
You know the group that I'm talking about with the two brothers in it. They came out with Breaking Benjamin.
The band with the two brothers. Extreme?
No, but good call. No, they came out right around Breaking Benjamin time. But my point is, Avril Lavigne gets married to another musician, and then her career tanks, and his career tanks. And it's not like a Sarah McLachlan where all of a sudden she's like, peace out, I'm going to go have a family. I'll catch you in about a decade and a half. No, she just up and stops.
Oh, here we go. Okay. Whoa, this is weird. All right, so her first husband was Derek Whibley from Sum 41.
Mm-hmm.
Then she dated Brody Jenner.
Oh, boy.
Uh-huh.
No wonder she's like, oh, yeah, yeah.
And then she got married to everyone's favorite Canadian singer.
Bryan Adams?
Chad Kroeger. Who's from Chad Nickelback. Kroeger?
The lead singer of Nickelback?
Yes.
Oh, well then, hey, I'm going to rescind what I just said the last 2 minutes. Because if you marry to the lead singer and songwriter of Nickelback, sure. Are you getting a lot of like crap thrown your way? Of course you are. 24/7.
Yes, all the time.
But do you have two gigantic Olympic-sized swimming pools filled to the brim with cash that you're swimming in?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do. Enjoy that. I can't blame her for never going on stage again. Way to go, Avril Lavigne.
Yep. She,
but that's a little creepy, don't you think? Because just thinking about their ages, don't you think he's like a decade and a half older than she is?
Oh, yeah. He's at least 15 years older. Let's see here.
If not more.
So she was born in 84, so she's 35.
Jesus Christ.
And let's see. Chad Kroeger here.
He was born in, let me guess, 71.
74. So it's 10 years.
Okay. Wow. Wow. That road really did him wrong. He got a lot of miles on that thing.
Well, you know, that's what happens when you want to be a rock star.
That's true. It's true. He wrote about his addictions many a time. But, I mean, let's still put a little out there that, sure, you can make fun of Nickelback all you want, but them boys have plenty of money.
Yes, they do.
At least the lead singer and songwriter does. I don't know about the bassist or drummer, but
I just heard that song on the radio. It is so terrible.
Which one?
That rock star song, You Wanna Be a Rock Star.
Yeah.
Something about owning a pickup truck and wanting to be like Elvis. I don't know. It was terrible. Garbage.
Wow.
Garbage. Nickelback is the worst band of all time.
I don't know. There's some really bad groups out there.
Like are they the Rolling even Stones?
But are they even worse than a one-hit wonder? Because there's a lot of bad one-hit wonders out there. At least he kept them going for a pretty long time. At least 4 years, 5 years. That's and I'm true. Sure he's toured since then, decades since then.
That's probably true. Listen, all I know is Rick Astley is freaking loaded, and he's been singing the same song for 30 years.
That's true, and I don't think Rick Astley is writing songs for other people, too.
No, he's not. You know, we were listening to Rick Astley. Zoe's on a Rick Astley kick right now.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Huh.
So, and I explained to her that that's like a meme song, but she loves it. So we were listening to whatever. What is it? Never Gonna Give You Up?
Of course it is.
And then she plays like some other Rick Astley. Like, that's the only song he had. He's a one-hit wonder. She's like, no, he's got like two or three. I said, okay, play the next one. And she played some other song by Rick Astley, which I knew.
I'm with her.
So she was right. He did have more than one song. But yep. Nick, the second song was the exact music from Never Gonna Give You Up with like one chord change. And just the words were different.
Yep.
And I'm like, baby, that's the same song. She's like, no, it's not. I said, listen to the music. It's the same exact music. She's like, no, this one goes ba-dum, boom, boom. And that one goes ba-dum, beep, boom. I'm like, all right, whatever.
I will say when I was working at the old Rose Records, his first hit, well, the only two albums I knew from him came out. And I got Rickrolled many days because we played that album constantly. And the Suburban Housewives loved it and would buy it all the time. Terrible.
Yep. The Housewives will never give him up.
I would assume that your daughter has already done this, but I just heard Bill Simmons had on Dave Grohl on his podcast, and, mm-hmm. and they were talking about playing this big fest in Japan. And Dave Grohl has a habit of when he sees people in the wings that are, you know, people that he wants to play with or he's huge fans of, he'll, during a guitar solo, he'll walk over to the wings and say hey to them. Well, he missed Rick Astley because his daughter's a big fan of Rick Astley. He missed Rick Astley's performance, but then while he's playing his set, I don't know, an hour and a half later, Rick Astley's on the side of the stage. So he went over to Rick Astley during the guitar solo, and he's like, hey, my daughter wanted me to learn Never Gonna Give You Up. You're here. The band knows the song. You want to come out and sing it. And sure enough, it's on YouTube if you want to go check it out. And Rick Astley was like, yeah, absolutely, I'll come out. But that's all because of his daughter. Like, I guess now she actually likes playing Nirvana songs. And he's like, no, it's cool. I never pushed any of it on her. And but it's just strange to have whatever, however old she is, 14, 16, playing songs about subject matter that I wish of my 14-year-old daughter didn't know about.
Oh, yeah.
But it, but the Rick Astley is out there. It's on YouTube if you want to check it out.
Since you mentioned Nirvana, I didn't realize that, oh God, what song was it? One of their songs is a David Bowie song.
The Man Who Sold the World?
Yes! I just realized that this week.
You mean the, by the same title, the, God, I want to say he's a French director who directed David Bowie in a film titled The Man Who Sold the World.
Uh-huh.
Or no, The Man Who Fell to Earth. Sorry, The Man Who Fell to Earth and The Man Who Sold the World was on the soundtrack for it.
See, I did not realize that until this week.
It's a great song.
I've been watching...
It's just like when somebody listens to Ice Ice Baby.
Oh, or, yeah.
And they're like, wait, Queen? That was a Queen riff that they're taking up? It's like, yes, they are. Yes. Stop. Same with people don't realize that David Bowie, while starring in the remake of Cat People, also sang the song, Putting Out Fire with Gasoline, on the Cat People soundtrack, which is a great song. A little dated, but still great.
Well, I've been watching Fringe. I don't know if you ever saw that show. And one of the main characters loves music. It's like his thinking thing.
Mm-hmm.
And... like they were looking for some like scientific thing at this abandoned lab, and his ex-partner, it was his ex-partner's lab, and they were digging through boxes, and he's like, he found a box of records, so he's like digging through the records. He's like, that bastard stole my David Bowie album. And then at the end, he's like, he plays the vinyl, and it was The Man Who Sold the World.
Hell,
and
it was
David Bowie, and I was like, oh my God.
Hell yeah.
All this time. Yeah, that show's fantastic, by the way. You should check it out. I mean, it's not new.
Was that the show that was on Fox originally?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I think the scientist is John Noble, and it's got Peter Jackson. Is that his name? Peter Jackson? Something Jackson. The guy from...
Pacey.
Yes.
Pacey from...
Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek, yeah. And it's not Peter Jackson.
Joshua Jackson.
Joshua Jackson, there you go.
See, I got confused because in the show his name is Peter.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yep, and then Anna Torv, who's on Mindhunter. Fantastic show.
I still have to see that.
Yeah, you got to watch it. It's so good.
Yeah, except it just seems so... I'm going to go up to bed and have nightmares from it.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, every time I want to, like, fire it up, I'm always like, oh boy, I better not.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to wait. Ah, the good old days.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let me ask you. In the
arms of an angel.
Let me ask you.
Yes.
What's it going to take, especially with Tenet and now Wonder Woman 84?
What about New Mutants, bro?
No. I'm only referencing these two films.
Okay.
what is it going to take to get you to go back to Regal Cinema or AMC right now?
15-cent tickets at AMC, baby.
True, but what's it going to take? 15-cent tickets?
I'm not going.
Okay. Just curious. Because my wife, I showed her the trailer for Wonder Woman 84.
Uh-huh.
And she looked over at me and she goes, that's going to bring a lot of people into movie theaters. Not me, but I can't wait to see that once that gets on demand. Ooh. And I'm like, that's the right answer.
Here's the thing. If things were like they used to be, where it would take 6 months for me to see it at home,
mm-hmm.
then like maybe I'd think about it. But all these movies are going to be out streaming in like a month after they come out. So like, whatever. You know what I mean? I'll wait a month. It's fine.
Yeah. Same here.
I'm not, unless I find a drive-in, I'll go to the drive-in.
Yeah, that'd be fun. But I don't even think, even if I do, I could be guaranteed like, oh, there's only going to be five people in the theater. It just seems a little too, and I mean, I'm pretty cautious, but it seems a little too, well, how can I trust that the air is being circulated well enough and not just recirculate? Like, there's too many factors. Even if I wore a mask, there's just too many factors to like go into a theater right now.
Listen,
but AMC's doing a big push on my email address. Thank you, AMC, for writing me every other day, letting me know that you're opening up theaters.
See, all that goes to the email address I never check, so I don't get them.
Mm-hmm. Smart. Mm-hmm.
There's at least two episodes of Fringe that have biological weapons attacks in movie theaters.
Ooh.
So maybe not the best time to be watching this show.
Yikes. Yikes.
No, I mean, I want to see him. I want to see New Mutants. I want to see Tenet. I want to see Wonder Woman. I'm going to see Batman like 30 times a day until it comes out streaming. But I'm not going to the theater for it. Like, whatever.
Yeah, same here.
I'm all right waiting. I think that's one of the things that not going anywhere and doing much of anything has done is help me not give a shit about that stuff.
Yeah, the fear, the FOMO has definitely left my body, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, the thing, like, I'm not scared of getting COVID or dying or anything like that, but I just, ugh, I don't even like people anyway. You know what I mean? Like, why?
Right. I just don't feel like I'm missing out on anything.
No, that's true.
Like, at this point, it's like, guess what? The only time I miss something is hearkening back to, yeah, but we went to, like, whatever, Costco. And we walked around. And it's like, yeah, but were we doing that just to waste 3 hours in a day?
Mm.
Like, that's sort of what it felt like. Because at this point now, it's like, well, go onto the Costco app or website and order whatever you want. And guess what? It'll be delivered. It might take a while. Who the hell cares? But it'll be delivered.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Why go and do that? I don't need to do that.
Yep. No, that's true.
But I got a little documentary for you.
Oh.
And I don't know if you still have it, but you should get it. You should get Hulu again.
We have Hulu.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and my wife got Disney Plus, too.
Oh, wow. Does she have ESPN Plus, too?
No. Nope.
Oh, my God. I think my air conditioner is... Can you hear that?
Nope.
I can't believe you can't hear that. It is loud as hell.
I hear it now.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was even louder last night.
Might be time for a new one, buddy.
Buddy, I just got one. this one is from October.
Oh, dang.
We just had the guy come out and fix it, supposedly.
What's he fixing if it's new?
I have no idea.
Mm-mm-mm.
But now I'm like, what do I do? I don't know what I do.
I guess call the guy again. Tell him to fix it right this time, or I will come over there and whoop his ass.
Ooh. He said turn it off and then turn it back on, and it will reset itself, supposedly. But that doesn't – that sounds like – if he was a computer technician, you know what I'm saying? Like, what? I say that to my parents.
That is 90% of tech support. Ooh.
Buddy, I hate this.
That was power. Did it work?
Well, yeah. I turned off the damn air conditioner. But guess what? At 2 in the morning, when I'm sleep, when I'm sound asleep, is it going to do the same damn thing? Oof. I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
I know. Now I'm pissed.
Hey, so you are going to be very happy to know, Nick Whitmore.
Hmm.
I am 100% caught up on Immortal Hulk.
Wow, that is exciting.
Now I've been caught up for weeks. We just haven't talked.
I know, but I like hearing that.
But I did. I started at issue 10 and read all the way through until whatever this last one was, 35, 36, something like that.
And
it's very good. It's very good. I still feel the same way about the art, man. Like, I like it, but I don't know if I like it all the time.
I like Bennett.
I love Bennett.
And when there's fill-in artists, that's the part that sometimes are hit and misses.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. But the story was great. I really enjoyed it. There's some crazy crap going on in that book.
Oof. The leader's so good in that.
Ah, yeah. When he showed up, I was like, oh my God, yes. This is what Nick was talking about.
Yes. But my favorite is the, what is it, that white beast?
Oh, yeah.
What was its name? Because it's just like, boy, that so fits today's mentality.
Yeah, well, he wasn't really a Hulk, though.
No.
Yeah.
But it's just how he can just corrupt people's mindsets and
all of
a sudden instill in like a fake memory.
Yep.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, that was really good. Man, I wish I remembered
like
his name.
It's getting away from like the gothic horror. It's getting a little bit more comic-y.
I mean, maybe with the leader coming in, yes. But like the stuff with oh God, what's his name? He was also in the Black Bolt book. Shit. Something Man. What's his name? Something Man. The Absorbing Man.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like that was kind of horror-y, like gothic horror.
Mm-hmm.
But then like having Alpha Flight in there kind of sent the comic booky way. You know what I mean?
That was good though.
I did like that.
Yeah.
I did like that. And it's been so long. I don't know, like I just don't read that part of the Marvel universe, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So I hadn't seen Alpha Flight in forever. And I was like,
same here.
Who the hell are these people? This is not Alpha Flight.
The team was good though.
Yeah, team was good. Team was good.
Is it still your second favorite Marvel title?
It is still my second favorite Marvel book.
See, I gotta read Daredevil.
You do, man. That book is so good.
I have it waiting for me. After I read Tom King's Batman, I'll zip over.
You can take your time with that.
No. I like having all the little storylines play out very, very well for me.
I'll be curious to hear how you feel about it when it ends. I mean, I like the way that it ended, like the way the run ended.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a little anticlimactic, and I'm not going to spoil it, but it was good. It was a good ending.
Okay.
I just felt like a lot of the run was kind of sluggish.
I think if I was reading it monthly, it would have not near the impact it does.
Oh, that's true.
Trade.
Yeah, that's true.
Reading it monthly, I'm sure there's so little meat on that bone.
Yeah, yep, that's true.
But reading arc by arc, oh, so good.
Well, you know, I felt, the opposite way, kind of. I'm starting to do my catch up on all the X-Men books.
Ooh.
And I started with Excalibur because I had only read the first issue. So I was like, yeah, I'll start there. And I really dug it. But that's one of those books where, like, you're probably better off just reading it monthly. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, there was one arc in there that was, like, two issues long. And it was like, what the hell? What the garbage? Like, they're... they go hunting for these, like... I don't even know. What are they called? Like, war wolves or something? They go on, like, a hunt. Like, an old-timey hunt, you know? When, like, people get on their horses and, like, send out the hounds and, like...
Sure.
Find animals, like they do that for these werewolves. And you read the arc and you're like, this is the worst fucking thing ever. Why are we wasting our time? But then like that matters because apparently it's important for Apocalypse to have a werewolf skull to do this like magic ritual. Yeah.
Okay.
So once I got through like that two issue arc, like it was good. And then that happened. I was like, oh no, what happened? And then like it got good again. So we'll see. And it's like one of the key books for the upcoming crossover, X of Swords, because it has to do with Apocalypse, and Apocalypse is a member of Excalibur right now.
Weird.
Yeah, yeah. It was cool though, man. He comes up with this whole plan to take over Camelot.
Okay. That sounds right up Apocalypse's alley.
Yes. Well, the plan is to have Krakoa like extend into Camelot, right? Because Krakoa right now is just like on Earth, but the Council are like trying to expand the reach of mutants. And so his part of the plan is to take over Camelot and place like a dummy ruler to kind of do his bidding there so that Krakoa can enter like that dimension. So it's like closely tied with Captain Britain, obviously, which is cool because like he's part of the team. Psylocke's in it, and of course she's related to Captain Britain, so she becomes Captain Britain, and there's like this whole thing going on there. And they end up putting Apocalypse puts their dead brother in charge of Camelot. Because, you know, mutants don't die anymore. They just get like resurrected in these like plant pods. They're grown from seeds, Nick.
Okay.
It's very Hickman.
Okay. That sounds it, yeah.
Hickman's not writing this book. I can't remember who writes it. I want to say Kelly Thompson, but I know that's not right. Yeah, it's good. It's good. So I'm trying to do this whole X-Men thing before X of Swords starts up.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully I can make it. Because there's a lot. And I wanna catch up on Fantastic Four because I'm like 20 issues behind on that.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's a lot of issues.
It's a lot of issues, man. A lot of issues. You know what we should talk about? We should talk about all these trailers, man.
Sure, yeah.
Let's talk about these trailers. What was your favorite trailer out of DC fandom?
Let me think. Boy. Can I say Gotham Knights?
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
That was your favorite trailer, Gotham Knights?
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. What'd you like about Gotham Knights?
It could be the Batman trailer as well, because that I'm really looking forward to, especially with all the casting. I thought the castings were all real good. But that was just such a small little snippet.
True.
But Gotham Knights gets me excited for a new take on the Batman franchise. I like the co-op. I like trading between heroes and doing like special like execution type moves.
Yeah.
I thought they all looked really cool. I watched the gameplay footage of Mr. Freeze that they did for like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
That looked, Mr. Freeze's look was pretty spectacular and seemed to fit really well. I need Barbara Gordon in my life. I hope that's Barbara Gordon. Even though I love her, you know, I liked her as, you know, the computer hacker.
Oracle?
Person. I enjoyed her that way.
Yeah, but I like her as Batgirl.
But yeah, except I thought her, and this is just me being a fanboy, her cape was too long.
Ah, I wanted the short cape.
Yeah, I like the short cape.
So you can see her butt as she runs away.
Even if it was covering the butt, that'd be okay. But I don't think it that long. Not everyone needs a long cape. But I enjoyed seeing Red Hood. Of course, Nightwing was freaking awesome.
Yeah, Nightwing was awesome.
Supposedly in that game, I guess Batman's dead. So that sort of is the push point of the trailer, which is cool. But do we really expect Batman to be dead? Probably not.
So I heard a rumor that Batman is turned into a Talon.
That would be an awesome
in this
that
game.
Would be an awesome twist, yeah, because I love that Court of Owls is in it. Mm-hmm. I think that's really, really fun.
Did you hear anything about which Robin it is?
No.
Okay. Because I was watching something or listening to a podcast maybe, and they were talking about it being Tim Drake. And I rewatched the trailer. That is not Tim's outfit. That's Damian's outfit.
I hope both of them are in it, let's be honest.
I mean, DLC, bro.
That's okay. I'll take that. I'll replay some levels. I don't mind. As long as they don't do the Arkham. I don't know how much Arkham games you played.
All of them.
During Arkham City, when I was hearing all of the pre-press for it, and non-comic book as well as comic book fans were like, dude, too much effing Batmobile. But I was watching all the trailers. I was soaking that up like a sponge. And I was like, there's no way there's too much Batmobile. Because everything that I saw with the Batmobile looked freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. It just looked great. And it was awesome. I remember loving the Batmobile just like exploding out of the Batmobile, flying, like all the gadgets the Batmobile had. That was great. But about halfway through the game, when they forced me into like so many Batmobile chases, so many races, so many like go to this point and the only way you can get to that point is in your Batmobile. At some point, I was right there with the critics. I was like, this is too much Batmobile. What are we doing? Even with all the DLC cool Batmobiles that I can put myself in, it's still me driving around in a Batman game. Is not Forza Motorsports.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
Stop the madness? To be honest with you, those games for me are all about the stealth, which usually I hate stealth games. But for whatever reason, that and the Crystal Dynamics Tomb Raider games, I'm all about the stealth, dude.
Give me
everything that I can sneak around. Give me Batman vision so I can sneak around, find a way in that isn't just brute forcing my way in.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't wait. I really, honestly, like I watched that trailer. I think that was the third trailer I watched. And it was hard to beat Batman because hashtag both of us were right. Robert Pattinson fucking rocked it.
We'll get there.
I don't care what people say. But Gotham Knights, I'm so excited that they're doing Court of Owls, even if it's just sort of Court of Owls. I don't really care. It just gives them the reason to have superpowered people in it.
Yeah.
Which I think sort of is smart. And a lot of critics sort of complained about the last Arkham game because Rocksteady didn't do it. It was still a damn good game. It still followed what I needed in a comic book game pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm over the moon. Can't wait.
So I was confused at first when I saw that was the first one that I watched because I saw the list of all the DC fandom stuff and I skimmed through and I was going to watch the Batman. Then I saw Gotham Knights and I was like, hell yeah, because Gotham Knights was my favorite comic. And there is a Gotham Knights comic, but it's not Gotham Knights.
Right.
Right. It's not like the old school Gotham Knights. So it's like, oh, they're relaunching Gotham Knights. With like a cool twist because it was the Knights with a K, right? So I was like, hell yeah, this is gonna be awesome. And I started watching and I was like, is this gonna be like a new movie? And then I realized that it was a video game and I was like, okay, cool. So I had to watch it again with this knowledge. But yeah, it looks good. I'm gonna get it when it comes out.
I love the neon look that everyone has.
Yeah.
Too. I think that's neat. And Signal. Very exciting. Very exciting. That's so cool.
Yep. Yeah, see, my problem was I did not realize that DC Fandom was not doing comic books this time. The comic books are on the next episode of DC Fandom.
When's that going to be hit?
Next month.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I mean, they announced a couple things. Like, they announced that finally Milestone's coming back.
Mm-hmm. I did see that.
I'll believe it when I see it because I heard that in 2015 and 2016 and 2018. So, right. You know, I'll believe it when I see it. But
you know when I'll cool. believe it?
Hmm.
When DC starts putting out big collections of Milestone stuff.
Yeah. So supposedly that's the plan, right?
If it's launching, I don't know, 6 months from now, they would be putting out trades right now to drum up some stuff. So that's when I know they'll be serious.
True.
But yeah, dude, I can't wait. I'm very excited.
I do have a full run of Milestone comics.
Of course you do.
It's one of the few things that I kept. And so I started rereading some of them. And you know, some of them are still good. Some of them don't hold up as well. Like I was reading, oh God, what's the team book? Man, now I gotta look this up
Uh-oh.
because now I forgot. Aaron Bell's listening. He's like, it's blah blah blah, because Aaron Bell also loves Milestone.
Nice.
Blood Syndicate, that's it.
Ah,
I
okay.
started rereading Blood Syndicate. It doesn't hold up as well, but it's still good. So
Okay.
we'll see. I'm excited to have people read Milestone that I've never read it before. Because like they're impossible to get.
I have read very little, so I'm
Oh,
very excited.
really? Oh, man. Okay. All right. Yeah, there's some good stuff on there. Zombie was freaking awesome.
That's the one that I have read, and I wanted to ask, by you currently rereading the stuff, does that hold up?
I haven't gotten back to Zombie yet.
Ah, damn it.
I'm re
Okay.
I, right now I'm reading Blood Syndicate and Hardware. And then after I do that, I'm gonna do Icon. I don't even know if I'm gonna reread Static. I'm thinking about it because like Static, like it's still kind of around, right?
Yeah.
So people are familiar with Static,
How was Blood Syndicate? Because that was the other one I read. I guess I did read two of the titles, so.
Yeah, I mean Blood Syndicate, it's fine.
Okay.
I think the issue I'm having mostly with Blood Syndicate is the art. Yeah, I don't think it's as good as I remember it being.
Okay.
But if you're a Milestone fan, don't hate on me. Okay? Can't help it. My bad. That's just the way I feel. But yeah, I'm excited to do a read through. So I'll talk about it at some point when I get a little deeper in.
Yeah,
I just started.
let me know about Zombie, because you can't find Zombie anywhere.
Oh, I know.
I
I
mean, you're
know.
lucky to find them in 50-cent bins for sure. But out in the
See?
open, in the wild, very hard.
I'm sure you can go to like my comic shop and find them there.
I'm sure you could, yeah.
But yeah, Zombie was really good, and it's one of the later books. Matter of fact, let me go on my comic shop right now and see if they have Zombie. Yeah, they have most of the issues. $2 a pop. That's pretty good.
That ain't bad.
$4 a pop. Ooh, a lot of out of stocks though. Yowza.
Uh-oh.
Yowza. Man, do I need to sell this?
Well, it is probably a hot title right now.
Mean, some of these I bought like brand new, but I did buy a lot of these off of like dollar boxes several years ago.
Yeah, of course.
Zombie. Yeah. She's dead too, isn't she? God damn, everybody's dead.
Yeah, yes, she is.
That's crazy. But yes, the Batman. The Batman.
Yeah, where were you with the trailers?
Boy! 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 The Batman trailer is very short. Boy! Boy, am I excited. Let me put it on record, Nick, because I don't remember the first time that they announced Robert Pattinson as the Batman many, many years ago. But I said back then he was going to be awesome. So let's reiterate here that we both agree. He could end up being the best Batman. Just saying.
He could be.
Just saying. He could be the best Batman. I love the little raccoon eyes at the end. I don't know how people felt about that, but I loved it. I liked the. I mean, from what we saw, Catwoman, she looks cool. It's kind of like a proto Catwoman, right? Zoe Kravitz. So that's exciting. Yeah, it looks really good, man. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that they do like a serious Riddler. Like a batshit crazy Riddler. Like a murderous bastard Riddler.
Does he have to carve a question mark in his bare chest and then have his shirt open to his navel the entire time? No?
No.
Okay.
No.
Good to know. Good to know.
But just, I mean, based on the how dark the trailer is. And the very little that you see hinting at the Riddler, it seems like I'm gonna get my dream of a very dark Riddler.
That's good. I like
So
it.
we'll see. This could end up being the best horror movie of whatever year this comes out, 2021.
Yeah, it looks pretty dark.
Yeah, it looks freaking awesome. And I'm glad they're embracing it, man. Instead of doing this whole DC extended universe thing, F that. Just put out movies. Nobody cares. They just want to see the movie.
I love that he's finally in a costume where he can move fast.
Yeah.
That looks really good.
Well, and I don't know how old is he? He's probably in his 30s, right?
Probably, yeah.
So, I mean, he's young enough where he could do multiple franchise the Batman movies.
That's true.
And this is kind of like a year one kind of story.
Yeah.
So makes sense. He is 34. Perfect. Good job, Robert Pattinson. He does have a little bit of that that sparkly Twilight vampire vibe going on. You know what I mean? Because it's emo Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, yeah, should be good.
Does this make you wish that Nolan would have had James Gordon-Levitt as Robin? That was talked about for a while there.
Well, I mean, that's always
before
the way that
Nolan was like, I'm not putting my Batman into the DC universe. This sure. is my Batman universe.
Yeah, I get that. But I mean, he kind of comes off that way at the end of that movie, right?
Yeah.
Where maybe not even Robin, maybe like straight to Nightwing.
Yeah, I'll take that.
But he did have that vibe.
But I do like Jeffrey Wright as Gordon.
Oh, hell yeah.
But I love Jeffrey Wright, so.
Yeah. It's good, man. A lot of very diverse cast.
I hope it's going to be sort of like Gotham Central. I'll take that. Give me a noir Batman.
I think he's got a boner. It's very possible. I busted out of my pants.
Oh, no. Thank God we're not showing the video.
Yeah, the Batman looks great. How'd you feel about the Snyder Cut thing? I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. I'm curious. Because you weren't like a huge fan of the Justice League.
I was a huge fan of the Justice League.
Stop. Were you? I don't remember this. Are you sure?
Not as much as Batman versus Superman.
Ah, no. That's right.
I didn't like the Mother Box shit. That's the only stuff I didn't like. And it looks like they're expanding on that. Which
yes.
might make it a lot better for me. Because it seemed very disjointed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, it's obviously very Snyder.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And, like, you expect that because it's a Snyder Cut.
Definitely, yeah. Been a long time coming.
It long time coming for sure. But I did like the way they expanded some stuff. The stuff that they showed with Aquaman didn't look like anything we haven't seen, I don't think. Because some of the stuff even looked like it was from the Aquaman movie.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
So I don't know.
But Barry running in the time force, or Wally, sorry.
Yes.
Running
Wally.
In the time stream, that was really cool looking. I'm looking forward to those, what, two scenes probably?
Yes. Weird though, because it's Wally, but there's a scene where he runs into a girl, and I was like, is this really Wally? If you watch the trailer, you might know what I'm talking about. It just gave me the vibe because, like, that's the way they established the relationship in the Flash TV show, for example, and then it's been adapted that way into the comics. Mm. And so it gave me this vibe of like, that's not Wally's sister. So are they like melding Wally and Barry into one for this movie?
Maybe.
I mean,
it
could be, right?
Sure.
But then she couldn't be a West because that'd be really creepy.
Hollywood, anything's possible.
But yeah, that was cool. I would like to see more Superman stuff. It from the looks of it, we might get some more black costume Superman, which is awesome.
Uh-huh.
Because I love black costume Superman with his mullet. I hope he has a mullet in this movie. And we'll see. There was more stuff on there with oh god, what's his name? Booyah! What's his name?
Who?
Cyborg. There we go. Cyborg.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I like the extra Cyborg stuff that was thrown in there. Like the football game and a little bit more with his dad and stuff. So we'll see, man. We'll see. Is it worth me getting HBO Max for it? I mean, I'll get the trial.
Sure, why not?
Maybe by, when's this coming out? 2021, right? Maybe by 2021, they'll have an app that works. You know, and then I can actually watch it. Because I'm not listen, Nick, I'm not watching movies on my goddamn phone.
No, why would you?
Exactly. have giant TVs in this house.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no app for my giant TVs. And, you know, I can't even... I have a giant computer monitor, and I can't even watch HBO Max on my computer.
Sheesh.
Yeah, ridiculous. Anyways, so fix that. And then maybe I'll think about getting HBO Max. Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not. What else did they come out with? The Suicide Squad. There were two things, right? There was the game and the movie stuff.
Yeah, the game's by Rockstar, so that's interesting, especially in a group dynamic that they had built.
Yep.
I think that's pretty cool. I like that Samoa Joe is the voice of the Shark.
Yes.
Shark King, yeah.
Yep.
Love me some Samoa Joe, so that's exciting.
And then the movie was, the trailer for the movie was not that good. But then,
what?
I mean, it was good, but it wasn't like, I wasn't blown away. But then I watched like, I don't know
but
if it was
like.
But
then you saw the very end of it and no. You realized, hey, John Cena is Peacemaker. I have to see that because he is the perfect Peacemaker. That's not what you said because that's what I said.
No, I think it was like movietrailers.com or one of those websites had like an extended trailer with like additional stuff, like James Gunn talking about the movie and all this kind of crap.
Uh-huh.
It was like an 8-minute thing. And that got me excited for the movie because it's like a smorgasbord of fucking comic book characters in that movie.
And then you said, how did Marvel let James Gunn leave?
Idiots.
What are they doing? Did Twitter scare them away too?
Yes, because it's Disney.
Yes, yes.
And actually, James Gunn made a joke with regards to that. No, it wasn't James Gunn. It was somebody else working on the movie talking about like having James Gunn on and basically saying exactly what you said. Like, how could these idiots let this guy go? This movie is fucking amazing.
So insane.
Yeah. I don't know why Pete Davidson's on there. Listen, this is what I wanted to know. Who is Pete Davidson blowing in Hollywood? That's what I want to know.
I couldn't answer that for you.
He has to be blowing somebody.
He's got some fairy dust being sprinkled on him left and right.
I just don't get it, man. I don't get it. But it's fine. Whatever. Like, he's probably going to die in the first 5 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I would say 90% of these characters are going to die in the first 5 minutes.
Oh, don't say that.
Like, we know Harley's not going to die. Rick Flagg's not going to die. Idris Elba's not going to die. I guess Boomerang's probably not going to die either. And maybe King Shark. But outside of that, everybody else is going to die. John Cena is going to die the most glorious death in this movie.
Jeez. I hope not.
But I love that he owns it, man. I love that he owns it. I'm sure the man's been trying to get into a comic book movie for years.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally gets the chance, even though he's going to die a horrible death.
Dude, I just want Peacemaker. That's all I want. I'm going to be so bummed, but I bet you anything it's going to happen exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Dude, you got to watch this extended thing with the behind the scenes, because they have like a shot of the entire team like exiting this hangar,
mm-hmm.
and it's like 30 people. And you know...
Oh, yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know that that's not going to be a thing.
And you know I've been reading DC my whole life. Half those characters, I have no clue who they are. No clue.
Yes. Yeah, there was some that I was like, like,
and I don't think I'm alone in that.
Oh, no, for sure. For sure. Like, when Mongol showed up, I was like, oh, yeah, Mongol's a character.
That's just one of those, like... I'm not going to turn in my geek card just yet,
uh-huh.
because I, like you said, I think those people, just like the Deadpool movie where he went out with X-Force.
Oh, yeah.
Within 5 minutes, everyone's dead. Like, it's going to happen just like that. James Gunn is not stupid. He can't have all those people running around.
Mm-hmm. But some cool choice. Like, I didn't realize Peter Capaldi was in this.
Yeah, weird.
So I'm excited to see The Thinker. Can you guess what character I'm most excited about?
No.
You can't? I'm going to tell you.
Go ahead.
the best character of all time.
Well, Hawkman?
behind Ten-Eyed Man.
Oh God.
Okay, that's the best character of all time. Let's be real.
Even better than Ten-Fingered?
Yeah, way better.
Thank God. Okay, good.
Way better. Polka Dot Man, dude. God. Hello. Did you ever think you would see Polka Dot Man in a live action movie? Nope.
No, I did not.
So see, perfection.
Not even in a Lego movie did I expect.
I think Polka Dot Man was in one of the Batman animated series. Oh, you know what? Maybe that's what it was in Brave and the Bold.
Yeah.
But dude, that's so exciting. Polka Dot Man. Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah, who would have thunk it?
I guarantee you, James Gunn picked all these characters.
Oh, for sure. Without a doubt.
Nobody at Warner Brothers told anybody to put Polka Dot Man or Ratcatcher or anything in this fucking movie.
Ratcatcher. Right?
They're just like, make sure Amanda's there and Harley's in there and then do whatever you want.
Yep.
And James Gunn is like, okay, well, the first person I'm going to have on there is my brother playing the Weasel. And then after that, let me just pick the most ridiculous characters possible.
So bizarre.
But yeah, it's cool, man. There was a rumor that what's his name? Taika Waititi or whatever, the guy that directed Thor,
mm-hmm.
is in this.
He is.
Who is he?
I saw his name on the gigantic list of names at the very end.
I bet you he's King Shark.
Could be, for sure.
I mean,
will he be dead within the first 5 minutes of the film?
What if King Shark eats Peacemaker?
No! What if he goes to bite him and instead he bites that little, like, throwaway, like, bit at the top of his helmet? That really Mongol should grab a hold of that bit and then just swing Peacemaker around by it.
That's hilarious. It has
no, there's no function to it whatsoever, but it's awesome. I love that character. Even as a kid, I'm like, wow, that's such a bizarre look, but I like it.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
You're the first person I've ever heard say that.
I did. Dude, I'm drawn to very strange looking character designs. I told you, I was more of a Prowler fan than a Green Goblin fan.
Oh. Prowler was the bomb.
Just because Prowler's costume was so bizarro.
Mm-hmm. He was like a purple scarecrow.
Yeah, purple and green.
Purple and green scarecrow. Is that guy still around? I'm sure he is.
Yeah,
I'm sure absolutely. He is.
He was in Slott's run of Spider-Man. He took over the costume for
a while. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then they gave him his own book for like a minute.
Yeah, he's got a great arc.
Yeah, that reminds me, that's the other book that I got caught up on, Amazing Spider-Man.
The Spencer book?
Yeah, the Spencer book.
And how was it?
Man, it was hit or miss, dude, for real.
Okay. I got 2 trades in so far.
You from the beginning, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the first arc, and then when the second arc started, I was kind of like iffy about it. But I kept reading it. But then I would like fall off for a couple months and then come back in and fall off and come back in. I was never too excited about it. And so I went back and read what I was missing. It was like 9 issues that I had to read. And like it was good. And then it was the same thing with Excalibur, man. Like in the middle, there was this stuff going on. I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like, why are we doing this? It was like a very Deadpool-y kind of arc. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
With the funny, funny. And you know, I'm a very serious person.
Same here.
I don't like the funny. Okay. Everyone needs to die every issue. And I just I didn't like him. And like the art was cool and it fit the storyline. But I just didn't enjoy it. And then it was just like a 180. Cause there's this whole big thing brewing up with Sin Eater. And then it got really good. And I was like, God damn it. This was going to be me deciding if I'm going to drop this book or not. And now I can't drop it because like the current arc is really good.
That's how they get you.
So now I have to wait. I guess I'm into like issue 50, man. I don't know. I don't know when this like Sin Eater stuff is gonna kick up.
Dang it, Spencer, you got me again.
That rat bastard. But yeah, it was good. It was good. And I can't remember who the artist is, but I remember some of these later issues being kind of old school.
Ryan Ottley.
Was it Ottley?
He did the first two arcs.
No, I don't think it was Ryan Ottley. Let me see here. For some reason, some of these issues reminded me a little bit of the Bennett stuff from Hulk. Like that kind of style, you know what I mean?
Interesting.
Let's see here.
What's well, I will right say now? Spider-Man, the tone of Spider-Man certainly isn't the tone of Batman. So you sure. expect a little ha-ha chuckle funny. But also Spider-Man is not the tone of Deadpool. And a lot of writers lean into that a little too much for me.
That's the wrong issue. Damn it. I'm already behind. This is every 2 weeks? No wonder. Jesus Christ. Who does this book? God damn it. Can you just give me who writes this book? Oh, Bagley. Duh.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. But then it changed again, it looks like, with the issue that I missed reading. So.
Oh. Yeah, I just got done with Mark Waid and Jerry Dugan's complete Hulk run. And Bagley does the majority of that.
Nice.
And he did a really nice Hulk.
Yeah?
So, yeah.
Yeah, he does a pretty good Spidey, man. Mm-hmm. Not going to lie. I mean, he's no Todd McFarlane.
Well, he did Ultimate Spider-Man for how long?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So that's his wheelhouse.
That's true. Which reminds me, I had this thing, man. Did you watch that the Todd McFarlane documentary?
Yes.
Okay. So I was like, yeah, the Spidey book. So I went and read Todd McFarlane's Spider-Man number one. And man, it doesn't hold up that well. I mean, the art is freaking crazy, but the story was just not very good. I mean, it's Todd McFarlane, right? And it's like the first book he wrote, so what can you expect?
Exactly.
But yeah, the art's still freaking awesome.
Was that around the time when, and I don't know if McFarlane wrote it or was this Jerry Conway at the time with McFarlane drawing?
Mm-hmm.
But remember the whole Mary Jane being stalked by a fan? Remember that arc that went on for like a year?
Yep.
It was so cringy and eye-rolly. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Which reminds me, that was kind of cringy in Immortal Hulk with Betsy as just the harpy all the time.
I loved that.
I was like, ooh.
But as soon as Banner walked away, then she turned back into Betty.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, fuck him.
Yeah, that's hilarious. That was hilarious.
She just wouldn't give him the pleasure of being her, which was freaking awesome. Yeah. How many times has Bruce completely screwed that pooch?
Oh, for sure.
And she just welcomes him right back in.
Yep. That's why Mary Jane Watson is a sweet angel.
Oh, that she is.
Who plays Mary Jane in the movies now? Is it still Zendaya?
Who the hell knows?
Mm, okay. I mean, I guess it's fine. It's like a baby Spider-Man. So you watched the Todd McFarlane documentary. Yes. Did you like it?
There was a little bit too much falling back on, I'm just going to do it. This is what I'm going to do. I'm just going to do it. Like, I know you're just going to do it.
Yes, yeah. Todd.
Yes, I get it. But the thing that I found fascinating was him going over the anniversary issue.
Yeah.
And it's like, boy, if he's that meticulous with most of the issues, I can't believe it actually comes out on time.
No kidding.
Because, wow, he was a stickler.
No kidding. Well, I mean, you know, good for him, right? He's like, he's built this little empire for himself. Off of just like this one comic that he's been doing for 30 years.
Yep.
I really like the documentary. It reminded me a little bit of that Image one. What was that one called?
Spawn?
No, the Image documentary.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, whatever it was. Something Image.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
But it was very similar to that. And
on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. It's on Amazon Prime. And I think the McFarlane documentary is on the sci-fi website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can watch it on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah, I watched it through YouTube.
Yep. And it was good. It was short. What was it, like an hour?
Yeah, it was real short, yeah.
Yep. But, I mean, there was nothing
I loved seeing him at a con. That mm-hmm. was cool. I liked seeing his back and forth with his family. That was good.
Yeah, I like that thing at the end when they show like his daughter when he started doing Spawn and she's like a little baby and now she's a doctor.
Yeah, so bizarre.
It was awesome. Yeah. I mean, like
they didn't go into like the two bankruptcies. They didn't go into that much. It was there was a lot of stuff that was just sort of glossed over.
Listen, they didn't even mention the lawsuit with Neil Gaiman.
I know.
Okay, like I wanted that. Give me that story.
It was a little bit popcorny. It seems like a lot of documentaries, they're almost just like a publicity documentary.
Yeah.
They don't really go into the like in-depth, like, ooh, that was bad. Remember when that ooh, that was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I need all the salacious details, but still, like somebody's life, there's ups and downs. And if you're only showing the ups, that's not a well-rounded documentary.
Well, especially when the central theme of the documentary is you don't tell Todd no.
Yeah.
Right? So like show that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone knows about the Marvel bullpen. Like, cool. He stood up to the bullpen. Great. What about, like, all the other shit from the past 30 years? A lot of that was just kind of glossed over, right?
Yeah.
Like, the hard times at Image and when people started leaving. Like, you know. I mean, granted, that stuff was discussed in the Image documentary, but it could have been interesting to throw some of the stuff in there. Like I mentioned, the Neil Gaiman lawsuit. Because, I mean, that was huge for many reasons. All right, it wasn't...
For sure.
Who was it? Yeah, Marvel. Marvel ended up just like bailing Gaiman out, right? Mm-hmm. And they bought Angela and some other characters. I would like to see a little bit more of that. But yeah, it was good. And I got to tell you, in terms of marketing, like it worked because I decided to go and read Spawn.
Pick Spawn back up. Let's do it.
Pick this. Spawn back up. And let me tell you, it was awesome. There's some crazy shit going on in that book, man.
That's cool.
Yeah. He even pulled... you may not remember this, but when Morrison, the greatest writer of all time, was working on Batman, he did a fantastic flash forward issue, Batman number 666, in which Damian Wayne is Batman in the future, and there is an issue in this current run where he does this flash forward, and there's this like demon thing. That looks like straight out of some anime, but he might have some Spawn powers. And it has to do with some of the stuff that went on in issue 300. So you get like this flash forward and then you're back to the present. But yeah, the current arc is really good, man. He's doing this thing with the symbiotes where like he placed like little pieces of symbiotes in other people because his power was running out. And now like the symbiotes are waking up in these people, and so he's trying to find them down. So like the first person that found them was the She-Spawn, and so they had like this battle. But now like they're teamed up and they're out looking for it. It's I mean in some ways it's getting like a little similar to the whole Venom thing. Which I mean I get, you know, you have this like living symbiote thing, so there's bound to be some similarities. But it's good, man, and the art is freaking awesome in every issue.
So with the symbiote that he has to go after, because he left a little bit of symbiote in that person, is that one of those? Does he have to kill that person to get their power to like extend his life? Is that the whole point?
No, because like the symbiote is regenerating itself basically. There's a point in the story where like you know how Spawn always had that power meter.
Yes.
All right. So there's a point where it gets to zero. But now it like hovers between like zero and like 10 or 12 and it's kind of like going back and forth. So it's almost like he doesn't need to kill him to take that power back, but like maybe he can steal some of the symbiote back to get some of that power. I don't know. It's interesting. And there's a whole lot of like, I mean, there's always been political espionage in the book. But as Al, like, he basically took down this like world cabal, and he's very public about it, and like everyone seems to know that he spawned.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It's good. I mean, if you haven't been reading it in a long time, it may take a little bit to get caught up and like figure out what the hell's going on. But you can, I mean, you can really pick up from like issue 299 and read from there and kind of get the gist of what's happening.
So for somebody like me who has read about four issues.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
That's why I never dip my toe in. I'm just like, nope, can't do that.
Well, that's the problem when you have a book that gets so high up in number, right? You just don't want to jump in because you're like, well, I missed all this stuff.
Right.
And like, I think he's doing a good job at making it accessible to a new audience.
That's cool.
But I do feel like I started reading it, and he says like you can start at 300 and like get what's going on. And I think that's true. But if you've been following along the entire time, you get a lot more.
I would hope that that's most comics.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the 300 thing is kind of messed up because there's so many references to like 298, 299. Yeah. And like there's editor's notes. So it's not like, you know, you won't know that unless you read those issues. It'll be like, oh, like as seen in this issue, which I always appreciate. But yeah. I don't think it's as easy to jump in as Todd and comic book reviewers are making it out to be.
Gotcha.
But who knows? Maybe once the story develops a little bit more, I don't even know what issue it's on, like 310, 312, something like that. Hmm. Maybe once it develops a few more issues, some of the stuff won't really matter. Because there's been a lot of like dealing with the fallout of taking down the Violator, for example.
Sure.
So we'll see.
But I think I've watched more Spawn TV show and movie than I did read a comic of Spawn. Mm.
The movie was fine. I like the TV show, though.
Yeah, that was good.
Was that on HBO? Yeah, that was HBO, right? Yeah.
That it was.
Was that No, that was MTV. Never mind. I was thinking of Liquid Television, which was Aeon Flux and the Max. Flux.
Yeah.
Ah, the Max. I wish Sam Keith would do that again. They were re-releasing all those Max issues, the Max Reloaded.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they finished, though, because I was picking them up, and all of a sudden I wasn't.
Oh, boy.
So I don't know. Maybe you need to look that up. The Max Reloaded. That was always one of my favorites. I remember reading that when they came out, and I was like, I don't know what the fuck is happening in this book.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the Max came out, I had to be like 14. I don't know when that moved. Yeah, I guess that's probably about right.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And I was like, I don't know what's happening in this book, but I'm so attracted to these oddly shaped people.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was 12 when that came out. Wow.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. Mesner Loebs. Yeah, good times.
Nice.
Good times. I wish there was more Max. Or more like weird shit like the Max.
Sure.
You know what I mean? There's not enough weird shit. I mean, there's weird shit, but like nothing like that.
Not mainstream weird shit.
Well, I mean, like it depends. Because so I've been reading, I don't know if you read Undiscovered Country.
No.
All right. It's I want to say Boom or IDW. It's Scott Snyder. And like the premise seemed totally up my alley, right? This like post-apocalyptic place where the U.S. is roped off from the rest of the world. And so I got in, and the first issue was like pretty straightforward. But boy, as the story progresses, you're just like, what the hell is happening? Kind of like I remember Black Science. Did you ever read Black Science?
Started it, didn't finish it.
Okay, probably because it was super weird. That's what this is like, because like they're in Canada sends his mission to the U.S. because nobody's heard from the U.S. in like years, and there's a wall built around the whole country, but there's like a distress signal that gets sent out, so they send this team with like international representatives too, and there's been like coalitions of countries, so there's like, you know, the Pan American League and the European League and the Asian League or whatever. And they all go to figure out like what this distress signal is, because apparently it says that there's a cure for this pandemic that ravaged the world that caused the U.S. to like lock itself in. And they get there and they fight these like Mad Max dudes. There's like a dude with like glowing horns coming out of his head, and like, and they're riding like shark cars, just like weird. Like Snyder's just doing like weird off the wall shit. It's one of those things where I feel like I've always liked Snyder as a writer.
Yeah.
But then he did like that Black Metal thing at DC, and I was like, whatever, like this is fine, but it's not good. But it's the same thing, just like throwing shit at the wall and just like make it weird for weird's sake. It almost feels like he's doing, I mean, this book is really good, but he's doing like that kind of thing.
Like the rabbit mecha Gordon suit.
Yeah, like that's not even weird compared to the stuff in here, man.
Oh, I know, but that was sort of the start of it.
Yeah. And in this book, there's like this whole mythology where like they have to travel the U.S., but like in a spiral for some reason. And like there's a key at the center of the spiral, and like the spiral is divided into sectors, and you have to like get these keys. I don't know. There's just so much weird shit. I feel like Snyder wants to be known as one of these guys that like comes up with really creative things. That are weird, like you know, like an Alan Moore kind of guy or a Grant Morrison kind of guy.
Sure.
But like he just, I don't think it's successful. You know what I mean? Because I've met Snyder. He's a very nice, normal man. You know what
He's
I mean?
Not Alan Moore.
It's not like Moore or Morrison that are just like weird motherfuckers.
True.
And so of course they're gonna write weird motherfucking stuff. This is like a totally normal dude, like cool as hell. But like he's doing these stories that I don't know, man. Like obviously people like it because it's Snyder. Weirdly enough, he's got a Kickstarter out now too. So, but I don't know, man. Undiscovered Country is good though, so don't get me wrong.
Why does he need a Kickstarter?
Hell if I know. Because why not? I guess.
I mean, who's offsetting the cost? Is he using Kickstarter to offset the costs?
I mean, he surely does not need the money, right? You know, DC had to be backing the trunk up for all those metal events.
But no matter what story he wants to write, he can take it to some publisher and get it done.
Yeah.
So why would he need Kickstarter?
I don't know. So the goal for this Kickstarter was $40,000. It's at $136,000 right now.
Yeah, of course. Because it's Scott Snyder.
It's Snyder writing and then Tony Daniel on art.
Tony S. Daniel.
Mm. Yep, Tony S. Daniel. Oh, yeah, I guess we should clarify. I mean, the premise sounds cool. I haven't backed it yet. I haven't decided if I'm going to back it or not. But basically, like, the sun doesn't come up anymore. It's just, like, nighttime all the time. And there's, like, weird monster shit happening. So, I mean, this seems like a cool Snyder horror story. But, like, he could easily have sold this to, like, Boom or IDW or somebody, you know what I mean?
But that's my point. He could take any concept, any story concept over and pretty much name his price, I would think. It'd be one thing if it's like, you know what, I want to get Alex Ross, the amount it costs to get painted stuff from Alex Ross, I need to pay him extra money, that's what this Kickstarter's for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no way a company isn't going to be like, oh, Scott Snyder wants to bring this to us. Great.
Yeah.
Like that just seems like extra money in his pocket. Like he doesn't need a Kickstarter. It's freaking Scott Snyder. Give me a break. It'd be one thing if it was like he wants to kickstart doing not even a statue. I was thinking of statue or figures or whatever. Like, guess what? Go to McFarlane Toys. He'll make shit for you. Like,
that's true. Yeah, you're Scott Snyder. What are you doing?
Yes. So stupid. It'd be one thing if it was Alan Moore, because guess what? Alan Moore doesn't want to go to Oni Press, doesn't want to go to IDW.
Yeah.
So he might actually do this by himself as an independent project. You know, this is going to end up at least at IDW.
Oh, no doubt.
So why are you giving him money? To do what? What's he going to do? Unless you're an Uber fan and it's like, oh, I get, I don't know, a script. And that's really what I'm paying for. I'm not paying for the book because, come on, the book's going to be out. Give me a break. You're paying for all the peripheral stuff.
Sure.
I would guess, don't you think?
I mean, I guess. Let's see if there's a script on here.
Unless Scott Snyder's like, look, every backer is going to get a digital copy or a physical copy 6 months, 9 months, 1 year before ever seeing print to all the general public. Well, then that's a FOMO reason. I guess people would absolutely jump on board that.
Right.
But to do something like that, like, dude, anything you touch is going to be able to be printed. You're Scott Snyder. Give me a break.
Oh, man, I think we've hit a nerve here.
It just seems like extra money. Or like I said, if you're doing a Kickstarter because you want Alex Ross to do paint or Tony S. Daniel to do painted covers, as well as, I don't know, painted covers, but these Kickstarter, you know, these tiers, you can join a tier that you can get original Tony Daniel art or cover for such and such. Then guess what? If you just come out and say, this is for Tony Daniel and I's retirement fund, or we're going to pay such and such medical bills for so-and-so person. Mm. Okay, I get it. But are you saying you're not going to earn money from, like, this just seems like, I don't know. This. That's like Martin Scorsese going to like Patreon. Like, oh, I'll show you my film, you know, 5 minutes every week, but you have to be at such and such tier. And it's like, but are you saying you can't get your film made? You're Martin Scorsese. Come on. Get out of here. Any film you want to make, you're going to make.
That's true, Nick. I think you have a good point.
Insanity.
Let's see what Scott Snyder has to say about it. 2020 has put a lot of things in perspective. With everything going on right now, I wanted to connect with fans and return to creator-owned work in a more dedicated way. That's why Nocturnal is going to be the first release on Best Jacket Press, my own imprint. Ha ha!
So there you go.
There you go.
An independent thing.
So you're kickstarting Scott Snyder's brand new comic book publisher.
I think that's smart. Mm-hmm. Now I'm on board.
Jacket
until he sells by issue 2 or 3, he sells his imprint to IDW.
Money. Here you go. Nocturnal will be under the Best Jacket Press label and will be released by Image Comics as a monthly series starting early next year. it's just about money. Here you go. With convention shut down for the foreseeable future, the creative team and I wanted to find a direct way to build more meaningful relationships with our fan and give them unique experience.
Sure.
Okay.
All sounds great.
So we're like what's the word? when you like, oh god, now I can't remember the word. Whatever, it doesn't matter. You're paying for all this money Scott Snyder is losing by not going to conventions.
Yes.
Okay. Scott Snyder, I still love you.
So do I. I just wish he would write more mainstream stuff.
He probably thinks I hate him now. I don't think he listens.
I don't think he does either.
I don't think he listens. He does follow me on Twitter, though. That's kind of scary.
Nice.
Yeah, and I didn't even follow him. He followed me, and I was like, oh, this is not good. It's not good.
Should I follow him back now?
He's heard the rumors. Somebody told him that I hated metal.
No, maybe you heard that you hate Tom King Batman, and you're like, that's my guy right there. That Mark Freddy, I like the cut of his jib.
Oh, man. I will tell you that I'm sure there's a lot of happy people because they're not doing the African-American Batman anymore. I mean, they are, but they're not. Because, you know, that was the rumor. They were going to be launching this whole 5G thing and basically just replace everybody with new characters.
Oh, wow.
So they were going to do a Lucius Fox as Batman. But now that AT&T is basically shutting DC down, they're putting that story out on their Black Label as like a 5-issue mini.
Ah, yeah. There you go.
It's what's his name? Ridley. Ridley Scott. No, not Ridley Scott. Oh, God. People are going to hate me. Anyways, he's a movie director. The guy that did 10 Years a Slave. God damn it. What is his name? John Ridley. There we go.
Ah, okay.
John Ridley. Which is fine. Like, that's cool, right? Bringing in a more diverse writing team.
Yeah.
But I
don't
know,
like,
man.
Sounds like a response to, what, 10 Ta-Nehisi Coates?
Yes.
Marvel grabbing him, and all of a sudden DC's like, oh, we gotta get an equivalent. Come on, come on.
We gotta do that too. Well, not anymore. And I don't even know how long Black Label's gonna be around. I think that's shut down too.
Oops.
Poor DC. They got manhandled. You know what the bad part is? Like, it's not even DC's fault. You know what messed it up was HBO Max being such a hot piece of garbage.
Wow.
Yeah. So they're like shutting everything down and doubling down on HBO Max to make it worth such shit. That's so sad. That's what happened to Valiant in the 90s, man, with Acclaim.
That doesn't sound right.
Yep.
Sounds like Valiant needs to start up a Kickstarter.
Hey, I'll back it.
I'm sure you will.
Who's done it? Archie did that. Oh, no, that got canceled because everyone was like, how dare Archie do a Kickstarter?
Hey, that's exactly what I just said about Spider.
Well, the difference is Scott Snyder's not broke and Archie was.
That's very true.
Luckily for Archie, all those Riverdale and all that stuff did really well, and that keeps the company up.
Definitely. Yeah, good for them.
Poor Snyder, though. You know what he needs to do? Sure. He needs to do some goddamn witches. F this Kickstarter. What happened to witches? Bring that back. I remember, like, 2017, he's like, yeah, I'm bringing witches back next year. Nope.
No such luck.
DC backed the Brinks truck up for that metal garbage, and he didn't do it.
Smart.
Metal. God, that's trash.
Anyways,
let's wrap it up, Nick.
Sounds good. I'm going to go outside and see if there's a raccoon stuck in my air conditioning machine.
Be careful. Take a camera with you and a shotgun.
Well, I don't have either of those, so...
Remember when Kevin Rose almost got canceled from the internet for punting that raccoon? when the raccoon was killing his dog, you know what I mean? Can't blame the guy.
Yeah. Well.
Anyways, thank you for listening to the Nerd Legion Podcast with Nick Wetmore. You can, of course, find us on Twitter at Nick Wetmore. I can find at Nerdy Legion. Thank you for listening. See you next time. Blah, blah.